My dearly beloved in Christ, next Sunday is the first Sunday of Lent, and it is called Quadragesima, which means 40 days. And at one time, Lent began on the Sunday, the first Sunday of Lent. But in order to have 40 days, and since it is not proper to fast on Sundays, Lent begins 4 days before, on Ash Wednesday. And so we have exactly 40 days, if you count from Ash Wednesday, up to and including Holy Saturday, but not counting the Sundays, which are not days of fast or other penance. So 40 days of Lent. And this number 40 is a sacred number. We find that our Lord fasted for 40 days. Moses fasted for 40 days when he went up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. And we find the number 40 in a number of other places in Scripture indicating penance for sin, such as the fact that the Jewish people had to wander for 40 years in the desert before they could enter the Promised Land in punishment for their murmuring. And we find that at the great deluge, it says that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. So 40 is symbolic, again, of penance, doing penance for our sins. Now, Lent is a very valuable time spiritually. Of course, we can fast, we can do penance anytime throughout the year, but this is the liturgical season in preparation for Easter that is set aside for penance. So there's an added value. We are doing our penance, our fasting, in union with Catholics throughout the world. It is like the entire mystical body crying out to God, have mercy on us. So I encourage you over the next 3 days, if you haven't already done so, to think about what you're going to do this year for Lent, and I encourage you to write it down so that you can review it. And in doing this, we have to avoid the two extremes. One extreme would be to become all fervent, all fired up. You hear a sermon like this, think, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give up that. And you come up with a long list of penitential practices. But then after a few days, it's just overwhelming. It's too much. And then there's a danger of just giving up and doing nothing. So we want to avoid that extreme. But the opposite extreme would be to do just a few little tiny acts of sacrifice. So let's not give in to our fallen human nature, which doesn't like penance, doesn't like suffering, and let us be willing to do penance. Now, there are all kinds of sacrifices and penance. In fact, spiritual writers use the terminology of the three great works of penance: prayer, fasting, and alms deeds. Because all of these are penitential practices. Prayer would include things like making the Stations of the Cross, meditation on the Passion, saying some extra decades of the Rosary, the Sorrowful Mysteries, reading prayers from a prayer book, especially dealing with the Passion of our Lord and the sorrows of Our Lady. So prayer is one type of penance. And then, of course, we have fasting. Fasting would include all forms of bodily mortification, not just cutting back on the food and mortifying our palate. And then alms deeds would include every kind of work of mercy, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And we should include some of all of these practices in our Lenten practice: prayer, fasting, and alms deeds. But I would especially like to concentrate on fasting. And here is a quote from the book of Tobias in the Old Testament. Prayer is good with fasting and alms more than to lay up treasures of gold. And notice there all three works are mentioned. On Ash Wednesday, we read from the prophet Joel in the Old Testament. And he said these words, sanctify ye a fast, call an assembly, gather together the ancients, all the inhabitants of the land, into the house of your God, and cry ye to the Lord. And he goes on, now therefore, saith the Lord, Be converted to me with all your heart, in fasting and in weeping and in mourning. So I could, and there's a book here that has many, many quotations regarding fasting in the Old Testament. But I'll just give you one example, and that is from the book of Esther in the Old Testament. And I mention it because we've just finished going through this book with our brothers in our scripture class. So in the book of Esther, the story is that an evil man who hated the Jews saw to it that a decree was passed that on a certain day, all the Jews would be killed. And this happened during the captivity. And Mordecai, a devout Jew, went to his daughter, sent a message to his daughter, whose name was Esther, who happened to be the queen. And he said, you have to intercede for us. Go to the king and explain to him, let him know what this decree was passed and have it revoked. And she was terrified because this king was a very austere and powerful king. And he had a law that no one could enter into his throne room who hadn't been called under pain of death. And even though Esther was the queen, she was included under this law. So she was terrified. And her uncle said, well, you have to help us. No one else can do it. And she said, all right, do this. Tell all the people to fast for 3 days. Have nothing to eat for 3 days. And I will do the same and I will pray. And then after 3 days, I will go in danger of my own life. I will go into the king's throne room. And she did. And it even says in scripture that God softened his heart, changed his heart, and he granted her request. Now, that's just one example of earning grace from God, turning away his displeasure, earning his forgiveness and mercy by fasting. And we find many examples as well in the New Testament. But in the New Testament, we read that our Lord was asked one day, well, why do your disciples not fast? The Pharisees fast, the disciples of John the Baptist fast, but your disciples do not. And I can imagine the difficulty that the apostles had because they were traveling all the time. They had no fixed abode and they were constantly moving around and they slept in the open air as they traveled around from place to place. And so they had to eat whenever they could. But they asked our Lord, why do they not fast? And he said, they cannot fast as long as I am with them. Their hearts are filled with joy. But the days will come when I will be taken away from them. And then in those days, they will fast. And that's exactly what happened. You can read in a book called The Acts of the Apostles about the life of the early church. And there are many places in there where it makes reference to the early Christians fasting. So fasting is something that has been in the church since the time of Christ, but we could say even going back into the Old Testament. After all, the downfall of the human race came from the disobedience of Adam and Eve eating from the forbidden fruit. And so by fasting, we atone for sin. There are many good results from fasting and other kinds of penance. We make atonement for sin so that we don't have to spend years in purgatory. We also earn graces from Almighty God. Fasting elevates the mind and the heart to spiritual things, but also it helps us to curb, to control our fallen human nature. Because our problem is the weakness of our will. It's not that we don't know what God's will is, and it's not that we don't want to do God's will, but we find that our human nature is very weak. But by fasting, we strengthen our will. We gain the mastery over our fallen human nature. Now, there are many kinds of fasting. Usually when we think of fasting, we think of cutting back on the amount of food. And indeed, that's primarily what it is. But also giving up certain things we like. Abstaining from certain foods. As you know, the law of fasting means not eating between meals for those bound to the fast and that there's two smaller meals. So again, restricting, mortifying the palate in what we eat and how much we eat. And also not to eat with avidity, slow down, to mortify ourselves in the manner in which we eat. So that's the primary type of penance during Lent, but again, it's not the only penance. So let us think about what we will do to mortify ourselves, to give up things we enjoy, to practice penance during this season. And in addition to penance, make certain that you spend some time, ideally every day, reflecting on the passion of our Lord, because that gives meaning to our penance. We think about what Jesus suffered for us, his terrible passion, his death on the cross. And then we are willing to do penance for love of him, to prove our love for our Redeemer who has loved us so much. Let us resolve today to make a good Lent, to make this our best Lent, and to prepare for it and write down what you will do to make a good Lent this year. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.